As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey everybody, just a quick announcement before we get on to today's show. Timothy and I have been invited to do a live podcast at the second annual Film Paideia brought to you by the Darkroom Lab, and we are so excited. Just for the weekend in general, there's going to be so many amazing speakers there. Trev Lee, Matt Day, Mike Padua, Grant Britton, the list goes on. And we cannot wait to just spend the weekend with the film photography community, hanging out, nerding out, and having a great time. So we hope we can see you there. So because of that, Timothy will be on the West Coast. We're going to hold our second Analog Talk meetup. It's going to be Thursday evening, February 28th. More details to come on that, but we hope everybody gets a chance to come hang out with us. We're super excited. Just going to be a great weekend all together, and we can't wait to see everybody. All right, guys, on to the show.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Analog Talk, a film photography podcast. I'm your host, Chris.
I'm Tim.
And today's guest, we have Laura Partain. Hey, Laura.
Hey guys, how's it going?
Good, thanks for joining us. We're super excited to chat with you. So before we get into all of it, can you give our listeners kind of a background on yourself and how you got started in photography?
Sure. That's a long story. everybody probably feels that way about their story. But So I've been shooting for about 10 years. I got started in high school. And I've always been into music and just the arts in general, and I've always drawn, painted. I've played guitar since I was about 12, and I still play, and I just I affectionately call myself a couch musician. I very much play for fun. But I got into photography when I was 18. I cut my teeth shooting weddings, and I was always, this lady approached me at this like little art fair at her high school, and she's like, "Oh, you want to shoot my wedding?" And I was like, "Sure." And then she paid me, and I shot her wedding. And so I've been kind of technically even doing it as a business since I was 18 years old. But I've always been into, I like shooting weddings, all right. I do it for my friends. But I've always been more into music and commercial work and editorial stuff, and I just really wanted to go to school for it too. So I went to a community college for a little bit, and then I transferred over to SIU Carbondale in Southern Illinois, and I got a degree in photography from there in journalism, and now I live in Nashville, Tennessee, and I'd say about 70% of my work or so is in the music industry here.
And like, you're in the right spot.
Yeah, and like I said previously, I play music for fun. I'm very passionate about it, and I really love shooting record covers, actually. And I do a lot of that here, and I love it. And that's kind of where I'm at right now. So just doing a bunch of stuff like that, and some commercial stuff, some a little bit of editorial stuff, and occasionally a wedding for a friend here and there. And I've been starting to sell prints more, and I'm been getting myself back into the darkroom for the first time since college.
Ooh,
yeah,
that's
so I've been in and out of the darkroom for about the last year or so, and that's been really, really wonderful. That's where I'm at.
So I live in Franklin, which is close to Nashville.
Cool.
Where do you darkroom? Like, I need to find like a cool spot that's not like the Nashville Community Darkroom. Nothing against them or anything like that. And that might be where you go. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, actually, I do use the East Nashville Community Darkroom. And it's been really, really wonderful. Yeah, I love that. They actually have a Zone 6 enlarger there that's really, really incredible. But we haven't got that up and running just yet. We do have one. It's just not functioning yet, but will be. But there's several Ilford enlargers in there that are really awesome. So yeah, but that's where I go. It's great. I find it's very affordable, and usually it's pretty chill in there. Usually it's just me and sometimes one other person. And
nice.
But yeah, I know it's kind of a jog from Franklin, Tennessee.
Yeah, it's not that. I always feel like there's like hidden spots. Like maybe I'm just like too into like underground stuff or something.
Yeah.
Like, I'm looking for like the seedy, dirty dark room, you know, that's like that nobody knows about, kind of.
That's what you need to open up, Timothy.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, that's the one I go to though. I can't think of another one offhand. I'm sure I know that people build out their own dark rooms. I got a couple buddies who do that, but yeah, I love going to that one. In fact, I do my best to stay off the interstates around this town, and I take the lovely Briley Parkway all the way around to East Nashville. I live in the Donaldson area, so I take it up to East Nashville, and I go up there and develop my film and print, and it's just really, really wonderful. I love it.
So, sounds amazing.
Yeah,
I just need to man up and get down there and do it, or actually get up there. I'm below Nashville.
Yeah,
right?
You should.
Yeah. Well, I know. I need to.
Yeah, come up. Let me know. Come up and print with me. I'm going up there this weekend.
There you go.
Oh man, that would be amazing.
Yeah.
So now have you always shot film, or were you like, you know, shot film first, then digital, or digital then film, and how was that?
Yeah. So I'm 28 years old, and I can't speak for other people who are my age by any means, but what's interesting is I mean, as somebody who got into photography in a family that really wasn't, outside of my dad playing guitar, and he's always done that, I really didn't have a family that was doing too many incredibly creative things, and it's not like they were just like, oh, you have to shoot film. They were kind of just like, oh, you want a camera? You mean you don't want to grow up and be a nurse? Okay.
Oh, no.
So anyways, but that's another story. But to answer your question, I got into digital just because that was for my age and my circumstances. I really just wasn't around film photography, and it seemed to be the case that digital is what I was going to do. But I really, I don't know. I kind of dabbled in film a couple years after I began doing photography. I really became passionate about it my second semester of college is when I became really passionate about shooting film. And I made the mistake of taking three production classes at once. And I took intro to film photography, but I somehow managed to take a lighting course. And even stranger, I somehow managed to take a 19th century photography processes course.
Oh,
so
cool.
I was learning how to shoot film, but also learning how to like make albumin prints from eggs
time. I love that.
I was like always that weird roommate that had like eggy smelling paper hanging in their bathroom, letting it dry. But yeah, that's when I got into film when I was in college, and I think it rubbed off on my style a whole lot, but I really, my professor Dan Overturf, he, at least at the time, I think it was safe to say he did not like digital photography. I won't speak for him in this moment, but he seemed particularly passionate about film, but he also had a commercial background. So in college, I really, really became interested via his work in shooting film, but also strobing it and lighting it artificially and being really thoughtful about lighting with portraits and such. And I think that definitely rubbed off on me today, because I certainly love to light when I can, and if it makes sense for an image. And I love doing that with film. It's a really cool, really cool look.
That's one thing I haven't I do a lot of studio work as well, but I haven't made the jump and like, you know, shot done it on film. It's always, I use my digital for that. So that's really cool knowing, because I was looking at your portrait work earlier or last night, and I was like, dang, this is film. This is really cool.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Most of my stuff on my website's film. Yeah, I mean, I got some digital stuff on there, but it's mostly film. But yeah, I think it's unfortunately because the Fuji proofing materials are... I need to go back and re-research it, but it looks to be the case that Fujifilm is just done. And it looks like there's a couple people who, and I should be more clear when I say done. By that, I mean that as far as their FP100C and the black and white version, which is, is it the five? No, wait, it's the FB
3000,
right. That's what it was. I didn't really shoot much of that, but I love the 100C. And to my knowledge, it looks like they're done making it.
Yeah.
And I have seen some stuff online that makes me think that there's other people out there trying to recreate it to some extent.
Mm-hmm.
But what I'm trying to say is, as far as being in the studio and shooting film and such, I used to use proofing materials to proof my work in the studio, but I really am saving my proofing materials now for any kind of fine artwork, for lack of a better way to put it. And I'm not doing it for practical of applications anymore, but I'm just proofing it. All this to say, I'm proofing it digitally though. And I'll still bring out my light meter and get it as close as I can and with that, or get it where I want it. And then I'll do a digital test or two, correct if I need to, and then shoot it on film. But yeah, I love shooting film in the studio. It's great.
As I was like asking you this question, I was thinking about photography school, and mm-hmm. I learned to light on film. So I don't know why it's like such a foreign thing to me. Cause like, wait a minute. Cause I went to photography school in 2004. So digital was like just about to happen basically. And, we had the Mamiya, which they could, you could for $40,000 get a digital back, but nobody, obviously like, or 20,000, some ridiculous price. So we all, we were shooting studio stuff in the, just in camera with light meter.
Yeah.
It makes me so sad that there was an abundance of film, like FP film to just test
proof,
lighting.
Like literally, you'd proof it and then be like, throw it to the guy, like, I guess throw it out or like keep it.
Now it's like Mad Max with this stuff. Like,
yeah, it is. It's a great. It's like precious. Like, you want some of what I got? What's your price? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I've probably got about 30 packs of FP100C at my house right now, and I just use it.
What's your price?
Gosh, I should not say this, but it's too late. And I think people know this at this point. But I found out the day after Fujifilm quit making it. And I called up Dury's here in Nashville, the camera store. And I was like, how many packs of 100C do you have? And they were like 40 or 30. And I can't remember how many I had them hold, but I basically had them put all of it on hold.
Wow.
And they didn't know what happened yet.
Oh, that's so genius.
And
love that.
I bought them all for like $8 a pack.
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I told the story before how I drove across country with a friend and we had those Land cameras, and he was like basically introducing me to Land cameras, and I was like, this is great. And he was like, yeah, the film pack's like $8. I'm like, no way. That's so cheap. This is going to be great. And then now it's like flash forward and it's like, what? $40 a, I don't even 50, know.
50 bucks, bucks a pack.
Like,
yeah, if you go on eBay, I found it recently for about $38 a pack or something. But it's such a beautiful film, and I recently made a photograph I really, really, really love with the FP100C, and I was really feel compelled to shoot it for certain work of mine. Yeah. But it definitely doesn't really serve the practical application of testing my lights anymore like it did for a while. And
you better frame it,
it's
mounted up there like it's a relic.
Yeah, it kind of well I know that somebody from Impossible, it seems that they broke off from Impossible and they're working on what eventually could hopefully be the answer to the FP100Z. So I'm really, really got my fingers crossed for that, because I really just, the idea of that film going away is just very heartbreaking to me. But it's the same thing with Type 55. That there's new 55, and that's looking better and better all the time.
Mm-hmm.
you know, so it's, I there's a lot of hope. And Kodak brought two films back in the last like year or so, you know.
Yep.
So
yep.
It's,
I know.
There's a lot of hope for film. I think it'll be around for a long time. So
exactly.
But yeah.
So do you shoot lots of instant just at all in general, or do you kind of like, do you shoot any Polaroid originals or?
Yeah, that, you know, the whole instant thing for me, as far as it being used for the end goal of being a final photograph, I'd say that's always been a little bit of an intrigue for me, but it's never been something I've really wanted to pursue. And even right now, I say I'm not pursuing it just because I don't have I have very limited resources as far as, you know, instant films. I would say that I like to shoot them for fun more than anything.
Cool.
And if I get an image that I feel really, really, happy with, then that's awesome. But, I would say most of my work is shot on a Hasselblad. I tend to enjoy shooting black and white more, but I shoot a lot of color as well. But yeah, I would say as far as most of my work, I shoot on a Hasselblad. I have two 500 CMs.
Nice.
One's just kind of a backup in case something goes wrong. I typically don't use them both at once, but if I'm on a big shoot or I'm out of town and I have to fly with a handful of cameras, I'll bring a backup Hasselblad in case something goes wrong. But and I have a 120 millimeter and a 60 and an 80 as far as the lenses. But the 60 is my favorite.
Yeah, I was just going to say that 60. See, I love shooting wide. I don't know what it is with wide. I'm just a big fan.
Yeah, I just love getting right up in people's faces.
Yeah, I think I'm the same way. I feel that too.
That's why I love it. Yeah.
I want to talk to you about your music stuff. Do you work for different musicians around Nashville, or are you connected with like labels and stuff?
Yeah. So as far as the music portion of my work, like I said previously, I mean, I've always loved music, and I've played guitar and sang, and I've written since I was probably 12 or 13, and I still do all those things. I just, for me, music is a, in that regard, it's just kind of a diversion from photography when I need it. But,
True.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but when I, after I graduated college, I moved to LA for a summer, and I worked for a photographer named Jill Greenberg, or rather I interned for her. And during that time, I had thought about staying out in LA, but I was also looking at Chicago, and I knew a handful of photographers there. And I was kind of interested in Nashville as well. And I asked myself, I just thought, you know, at the end of the day, what photography portfolio would I love more if I could envision it somehow? Would it be what I could make in Chicago, or would it be what I can make in Nashville? And I really love the idea of coming to Nashville and getting involved with the music here and having a little bit of an imprint here with my work in that way. And so yeah, I moved here in 2012. Yeah. And
that's so crazy. Me too. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
Oh, no, that's cool.
I got here in 2012 too.
Nice. Where'd you move here from?
Pennsylvania.
Oh, cool. What part?
Central PA, like Lancaster, Lebanon area.
Cool.
About 45 minutes from Philly.
Oh, gotcha. Okay, cool. One of my good buddies lives in Pittsburgh. Actually, I have a few friends in Pittsburgh, so I don't know much about Philly, but I enjoy going to Pittsburgh occasionally.
Yeah, Pittsburgh's beautiful. It's such an awesome little town.
Very cool town.
City.
Yeah, but so when I moved here, I mean, I just it actually was really hard. I moved here not knowing anybody, and I just, over time, I just started to make good friends, and I started to shoot more, and I started to shoot record covers for those friends, and it kind of just blossomed very slowly from there. But yeah, I mean, I've been doing that since 2012, but I just slowly and over time became connected with a bunch of different labels and artists, and it's kind of the byproduct of a lot of dedication and hard work, I guess.
I was going to say, hustling.
Yeah. Hustling. A lot of hustling.
Yeah.
yeah. But it's been great.
Do you ever think of the what ifs, if you would have went to Chicago or anything like that?
Oh, I can't imagine. Oh, it would have been such a wrong choice for me. Yeah. I really feel very, very thankful that I mean, I can't imagine being anywhere else. I'll be here probably the rest of my life, honestly. I love it here. Yeah. I mean, I love shooting music, and I really, at the end of the day, I love working with people. It doesn't necessarily have to be in the music industry, but I really love portraiture and working with people. And, but by and large, I really, there's a lot of satisfaction for me in picking up a record that I had shot the cover of. So it's something I try to do as much as I can. And it's definitely one of my favorite things to do. Yeah. But yeah, I stay really busy now. It's been, I mean, it's a long story, but I guess that's why we're doing this, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I really came here, and I knew one person, and I met him at a concert, and I haven't seen him since. But it's like, outside of that, it's like, yeah, I moved here not knowing anyone. And it really, you know, went from that to, you know, working with a lot of different artists that I had loved since I was a little kid, and also many up and coming artists that I fell in love with along the way. But when I first moved here, actually, it was probably, let me think about this. I think I had only been here a couple months, and a buddy of mine from St. Louis was in town. I did some portraits for him, and we went to a bar downtown afterwards after we did a shoot. And I had my Hasselblad with me, and there was this guy sitting next to me, and he's like, "Is that a Hasselblad?" And I was like, "Yeah." And he's like, "Oh, I'm a Leica shooter." We just started talking film and stuff. And he was like, "You know, my buddies, they're opening a film photography lab. You should go meet them and see what they're up to." And he got me connected with what would be Filmbox, when Filmbox was a thing here in Nashville.
Filmbox, come back.
Rest in peace.
I know. Man.
I had probably only been here about a month, and the next day I had emailed them, and then the next day I went to the, what would be the lab, and they were like, "Yeah, we're kind of in beta version right now." And they're like, "Oh, you're our first customer."
I was like, "Oh, that's cool." Crazy.
And then a couple of months later, I became their first employee. And that was cool too. And I worked at Filmbox for about a year and a half, and it was amazing. It was a really, really cool thing to be able to literally get film from around the world and develop it and work with it, and or rather to scan it and then send it back off, you know. And I really watched them grow, and it was a great experience. And long story short there, I quit working there. And a couple days after I quit working there, I did a behind the scenes with Old Crow Medicine Show for 2 days on a music video that they were doing. And that's a band that I've loved since I was probably like 12, 13 years old. So for me, that was one of my first moments of there being this sense of, "Oh, this is really surreal." Mm-hmm. It was such a cool music video I was doing stills for it, and it was behind the scenes, but it was really, really, that was the moment I knew, okay, I'm done with my part-time photo lab sorts of jobs. And I think I'm done doing a lot of assisting too. And I want to focus on my work and really, yeah, just doing more of my own stuff.
Yeah,
and,
time to go all in.
Yeah. And it really just blossomed from there. And I feel, not that it wasn't hard, because it's very, very hard, you know, to do your thing full time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's tough every day in its own way, you know, but it's been such a amazing journey. Yeah.
How did you transfer it into like commercial stuff?
As far as commercial stuff, I've always kind of had an interest in it, I guess. And when I was probably 18, 19 years old, before I was technically a photo student, I'd drive to St. Louis, and there was a photographer there who did commercial stuff, and I'd go in and work with him, and it was more like catalog work, you know, but I was just really fascinated. I was at a point really just fascinated with anything that wasn't weddings weddings and family stuff, because that's, especially like living out in the country, like I did as a kid, there wasn't, to me at the time, it seemed that was all you could do. So the idea of going to the big city and actually like getting to like do something that wasn't, you know, Uncle Joe's wedding, you know what I mean? But no offense to that, you know, but it's just not what I wanted to do. So I've always been kind of interested in it. And I don't do a ton of it, but I've done some stuff for some local breweries here in town. And I do product activation work, which is basically working with brands and events. And I've done some stuff for like Ford. I did some stuff for Willie's Marijuana Company one time. But, you know, stuff like that, Mountain Valley Water, just different brands, documenting events for them. And that's a lot of fun. I like doing stuff like that. But yeah, I'd like to do more of it. I'd like to get more in the actual advertising end of it all.
Yeah.
But it is fun.
I think you definitely hit like the right area though, because looking at your photos, I think I started following your work when you did Matt Day's podcast, The Shoot.
Oh, cool.
And kind of been following you since then, and it's such a perfect fit, you know, like the country western vibe that always like comes, and but like it's like hip country, you know, when you think of, well, see, I'm like one of those like salty punk rock kids from the East Coast that is just like country stupid, you know. And now that I live in Nashville, I'm like, dude, country western is so awesome. Like, I'm so into that style, and like old timey country is great. I mean, pop country, just please, I'll jump off a building before I, you know, buy a CD of something of that. But I mean, do people even buy CDs? Why did I say that?
Oh yeah, that's another interesting thing. Do people buy CDs? I'd like to think that people still buy CDs, yes.
Yeah, but, I mean,
it's yeah.
Yeah, you're right. But I think it's such a good fit though. Like, I'm Nashville, we're glad you came this way and started doing what you're doing.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I mean, I love being here, and like I said, it's I really truly feel like I'm doing the work I want to do, you know. I really do.
That's what's most important.
Yeah, that's like the best thing ever.
I moved out to LA about 5 years ago, and I was just at that stage in my career where I was like, if I stay in Connecticut, then I'm just going to shoot weddings.
Right.
You know, I was just starting to like book weddings of people who I'd never, you know, it wasn't a friend of a friend. It was like, I saw your work, and I was like, oh, I got to go.
Yeah.
So, you know, I drove across country, and I've done a lot of like on-set photography, and, you know, I'm working, you know, with a musician now, and it's just like, yeah, doing the work that you want to do is like the most key thing, I feel like.
Yeah.
It keeps us like in love with it, you know, because not that I didn't enjoy shooting weddings, and I've done a couple since, just doing that full time would have been too much, I feel like.
Oh yeah, I feel the same way. It's like, I really enjoy doing it for my friends and acquaintances who hire me. And I've got like a secret website for it that's password protected.
Right.
It's like, if somebody really wants to see, I've got it, but I don't advertise it. It's just not what I really do.
Do you shoot those on film as well? Or are you like hybrid when you shoot weddings?
Oh yeah. I'm hybrid when I shoot. I'm hybrid when I shoot weddings, but and depending on the shoot I'm on, it varies. I just, in order to be more sustainable, there's just some shoots that I do all digital. There's some shoots where I'm hybrid, and there's some shoots where I'm almost entirely film, if not completely film. It really just depends. Depends on the budget.
I was going to say, do you try and convince the client that you should shoot it on film, or do you kind of like feel it out?
I feel it out. Yeah. I mean, most people know I shoot film, and for those who don't, it just depends on what exactly the project is. Sometimes I mention I'm shooting film, sometimes I don't.
Yeah.
You know, usually if somebody just really loves the work, I just roll with that.
Yeah.
And then charge accordingly.
Yeah.
But
man, it's funny. I always get coworkers, like, I work at a restaurant down here, and like, I always get coworkers asking me, you know, hey, you know, you do photography, right? And I'm like, yeah. And they're like, do you want to do some portraits of my kids and stuff? And it's like, well, I don't even own a digital camera anymore. I kind of gave up on that. And like, it's like, I would love to, but do you got like $300? Because we're going to spend a ton of money on film and
more,
you
know, than that.
Well, no, I'm just throwing a number out there. Cause it's always like, well, yeah, I would love to shoot pictures of your kids. What's your budget? And they're like, $50. Can you do it for 50? And it's like, oh goodness.
Yeah, it's like, no.
You got a cell phone. You got this. Get out there. Yeah, go get him, Tiger.
I recently, and I'd like to think politely, I had to tell somebody after they kept quoting me really sad numbers like that. And I finally was getting really frustrated, and I thought, there's only one polite way to respond, and I looked up the area that the shoot was in, and I was like, looks like there's a university nearby your
shoot,
and you should get a hold of, see if they have a photo department or an art department, and if they have any young photography students who'd be willing to do it at your budget. And that was my only nice way that I could say, like, you know, help a student, but I can't do something for free, basically.
No.
Yeah.
And I mean, it is free when they throw a number at you like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's something that's a conversation. I mean, that's just the way it is in photography and with a lot of businesses. But, you know, a lot of people, they hear the numbers and they're like, whoa, like for what? Like, and it's like, well, it's not, you know, it's not, you're not paying for your photo shoot necessarily, or rather you're not just paying for me to come out and then spend 4 or 5 hours with you or however long on a shoot.
Yeah.
I mean, consider this conversation we were having, or consider the fact that I have to do a ton of pre-production or location scouting, mm-hmm. and especially to go back and on programs that I have to now pay per month, every month for, like Photoshop.
Oh yeah.
Right.
And Bridge and Lightroom and such. You know, I have to go back and do all this post-production, and if it's film, then I have, I have to pay a lab to develop it. And I do my own black and white just because it's more cost effective, but like right. I'll have a lab develop my color, and then I'll scan, and I do my finals on a drum scanner, you know? Oh. So it's like, So it's like, you know, there's, and that like I drove to East Texas for that thing with my car. Like the thing was huge. Yeah. Just to go pick up a drum scanner. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's just like the overhead's way too high for me to even accept a couple $100. You know,
right.
I just can't. And I just tell people very politely, in order to be sustainable, I can't, you know, can't do it for just a little bit. And most people understand, though.
For sure. Yeah.
I'd like to think at the end of the day, in the grand scheme of things, I don't really have to have those conversations all that often anymore, which is nice.
That's very good.
Yeah. It happens occasionally, and I have to laugh at it.
Man. The business of photography is just, that's why I kind of stopped trying on that end. I'm just not like, I don't know. I feel like you got to be like cutthroat with that stuff, or
really dedicated.
Not even that, just kind of being able to say no. Like I hate saying it, but like I'm definitely like a yes man. Like mm-hmm. I will say yes because I'm a people pleaser, and like I love people to be happy that are around me and stuff like that, and especially new people that you meet and stuff, and they ask you to mm-hmm. do a job. It's so easy to just be like, of course I'll do it, you know, like I would love to, and then after I'm done doing it, hating myself for doing it because it was like, you know. And plus it gives, the thing that always gets me is when photographers do stuff for nothing, you know, for pennies, it mm-hmm. it makes it hard for professionals like you, mm-hmm. you know, to throw out your fee. And it does look crazy to somebody who is like, oh, well, we just want this and that. You know, most people can wrap their heads around it. Like people, especially in the music industry, you're in the right area to be like, hey, guys, this is what I charge for, like an album cover and right. some photos. You know, like they get right. that. But, you know, some mom, and, you know, somebody wants like engagement photos that you don't know that get sent to you because they know you're a photographer kind of thing. It's just, it's so weird when you're like, look, I need to get paid. This, you know, like it's such a weird, I wish I was stronger with my business sense, because then I could probably pursue it. But I'm fine doing like fine art and personal work. So mm-hmm. it's keeping it as that.
Speaking of that, do you do any personal work or fine art stuff yourself, Laura?
Yeah. Well, I wish I had a better way to put it, but I would say a lot of the stuff I do, it all feels, a lot of my work feels like personal work to me. Mm.
It's the best.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that, like, you know, I love getting to work with musicians, and I would consider really all of that part of my work to feel personal. And even some commercial stuff I've done feels personal. It's just, especially when I get to, yeah, I prefer to shoot film, and most of it is on film, but mm-hmm. regardless, I would say that most of my work feels like personal work to me, and I love getting out there and doing it, and I put a lot of forethought and pre-production into it and sketch things out. And as far as work I don't get paid for that could fall into the personal work category, though, it's kind of a project that's fallen by the wayside, unfortunately, just because of time and funds. But I spent most of 2016 and 2017 shooting at an American Legion Hall, and I've got a whole catalog of photos from that. Nothing's on my website for it, but it's at this point, it's a pretty known little spot in Nashville. It's the Post 82 on the east side. and a lot of people go to shows there. In fact, Rodney Carl's playing there tonight. I bet that'll be awesome. I haven't picked that project up in a while, but I've got a ton of portraits from it, a lot of dancing. And the whole point of the series is really, at the end of the day, it's just a time capsule of,
yeah, that's cool.
a really interesting place that is a collection of people of all walks of life coming together under one roof to listen to music and dance.
You should do a book.
Oh yeah, I will with it. Yeah, for sure. I think at this point I really just need to see what I have again and evaluate where I need to go with it. And I really, at this point, I'm ready to just turn it into a book.
Yeah,
awesome.
I've got like 50 contact sheets from it over 2 years. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, So it's got a lot of. It's probably already there. I just need to make it happen. So,
man,
stay tuned, everybody.
it might be another year or two. It might be a couple of years, but I'd like to hop back on that.
It's awesome.
Sure. Yeah. It's like I said, it's like, I have like about 50 contact sheets and it's a mix of people dancing, portraits, it's all black and white on camera flash, mostly T-Max 400 and Delta 3200.
That sounds right up my alley right there.
Yeah.
We'll be right back with a listener question for Laura right after this message from our sponsor. Today's episode is brought to you by the Analog Talk Patreon. Head over to patreon.com/analogtalk. There we have a bunch of awesome things for you guys. We refreshed and updated it. We're going to be adding a bunch of video and also a bunch of stuff to the, you know, the lower tiers, the middle tiers, and the higher tiers. We're actually super excited about the relaunch of this Patreon. So for all the Patreons who have supported us already along this way, thank you so much. And for the newcomers, you know, head over, check it out, see if there's something that interests you there. I know next week we have an awesome little behind the scenes extra Q&A with George from Negative Feedback. So if that sounds like something you'd be interested in checking out, head over to the Patreon. Again, it's patreon.com/analogtalk. Hey guys, this is a part of the show where we break off and take a question from one of our listeners. And this week's question comes one of my friends, Zach Parks Photo. And he asks, I noticed that you shoot a good bit of Delta 3200 for your live music photography. Is that your to-go-to stock for these settings? If not, do you have one you prefer?
Yeah, so I would say with a lot of my concert stuff when I do shoot film, Delta 3200 for sure. I mean, a lot of venues and also with recording sessions, definitely. Which, in the era of digital photography, it's really can be tough to go into a lot of studios because everyone literally has the lights. Just, I mean, there's hardly any lights.
They're dark and
yeah. And I go in there and I just like crank them up all the way, and everyone's looking at me like, "What's wrong with you?" I'm like,
"That's
do you want
smart.
Photos
I don't
or us- not?"
I don't usually do that. That's good. I'm gonna start being like, "I'm gonna turn the lights on, y'all. Sorry."
Yeah, but yeah, to answer that question, I would say, with a lot of my concert work when I do shoot film, I tend to shoot Delta 3200 really just out of necessity. I do think it's a beautiful film stock. And I have to say that I rate the film very strangely. A lot of people are like, wow, it looks so great. Like a lot of people don't know this and it is confusing, but Delta 3200 is only ISO 1000.
Mm. Yeah.
And it's not, so a lot of people I know try to go and shoot at 3200 and develop it normal, and they're like, why is it underexposed? Mm-hmm. So one thing that I do, and again, it's a little strange, but I spot meter for the shadows, and typically when I say shadows, I mean on the folds of somebody's jacket if it's darker, or their pants. It depends on the lighting. I'll meter in a few different areas, I actually rated it 2000, so I'm only underexposing at a stop, but I push it 2 stops in development.
Oh, cool. Smart. Yeah.
It's so weird, but you know what? It works really well for me.
Yeah.
And I'm very open about the fact that I do that. One, because it's odd and doesn't seem to make a lot of sense. And two, I found that when I tell people that, it gives them really great results too. So all this to say,
I want to try it now.
It's worth trying. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I can get away. I never shoot Tri-X at concerts or any films with that kind of grain. I really love like any kind of Delta film is great.
Yeah.
And T-Max is great just because they push really, really well.
They're
made to be pushed. Mm-hmm. And if you're in those settings, you're going to have to push your film most likely. Yeah. So, like, if I'm at a place downtown, like a bigger stadium, like the Ryman, or a venue where the lighting's really great, I actually can get away with T-Max 400 push two stops to 1600. I've done that a few times, and I've got great results from that. But I would say, generally speaking, Delta 3200, and I rated it 2000, push it two stops in development. And if I do that for concerts, it looks awesome.
Man.
Yeah.
Nice.
That's a good tip. Yeah. I like that.
That was a great question.
Yeah.
Cool.
Have you been shooting the Kodak 3200 at all? The P3200?
No, not really a lot yet. I know that right now it's just in 35.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, this is an embarrassing confession. I have a roll of it right now on my desk that's been here for about a year. But here's the thing. Kodak gave it to me, and I held off on shooting it, actually, because I wanted to shoot something really special on it. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of this weird little thing where it's like, I when the time is right and I have the right project, I'm going to shoot it. And I like to think that it'll be shot on the beta roll.
Oh, yeah. That's so cool.
I've also got some beta rolls of Cinestill, too, that I haven't shot because I also want to shoot those for the right project as well.
That's great.
I love that. That's cool.
Yeah.
All right, now I think it's time for the tough question, Timothy.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun.
What is your desert island camera? Basically, like, if you only could pick one, what would it be and why?
Oh, that's easy.
Okay, good.
Hasselblad.
Yeah?
Nice. Hasselblad.
Your baby?
Of course. If I could, I'd just shoot everything square.
Yeah.
Everything square. That's my favorite camera. Hands down, that was an easy one for me.
Is there anything you're lusting after that you want to get your hands on you haven't tried yet?
Oh, that's a great question. I don't know. I'd really like a lighter 4x5. I have a rail camera that weighs just as much as I do.
Yeah.
I'll lug it out into the field occasionally, but it's just, you know, that's kind of a lot. I'd like to get like a nice like Toyo View or something 4x5 at some point.
I'll let you borrow mine if you want.
Oh yeah, you guys,
nice, cool.
you guys really have to hang out.
Yeah.
Oh, cool. Yeah, that would be awesome.
Yeah, I feel bad. Mine just sits in its bag in its case over here. I'm going to shoot it today. I loaded up 10 film freaking thingies. I don't know why my mind is blank. I've been wanting to go around and shoot this abandoned building down here for weeks now, and I'm finally going to do it. So after we're done doing this.
Yay.
Nice. Well, hey, anytime you need, if you ever want somebody to go with you and go shoot, let me know.
Yeah, for sure.
I are a location scout too. I always like to have a friend go with me if I can.
For sure. I would love that. I need a film or even photography buddy. Like, I just feel like I'm at, like, here in Franklin, I'm just kind of like put off to the whole Nashville area because it's just out of reach. Because I'm lazy, not because it actually only takes like, you know, 30 minutes to get there. If traffic's bad. So I just get very lazy.
No, I guess. I mean, Franklin's far away enough to where, especially if the traffic's rough, it's hard to make it into town.
Yeah, traffic is just terrible in this state right now.
That's why I try to stay on the highways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you ever think you'll get back into doing the alternative process stuff, like the
albumin?
Albumin, there it is.
Like think like you, like Y-O-U, you. Mm. Hey, you, albumin.
Albumin, yeah. Yes.
Albumin, yep. Not that so much, so I didn't talk about it yet, and I don't really talk about it much in general anymore, but I used to do a lot of amber types, so like the glass plate
photographs. Yeah.
I used to do a bunch of stuff like that. I don't even think there's a section up for it on my site anymore. I can't quite remember. I kind of brushed that all aside just because I got to a point, and I can't speak for people who do it professionally or people who do it a lot, but because it's a niche.
Yeah.
Process, one of the realities of it, but one could argue it's the same reality when you do a lot of anything, weddings, music, etc. But the more you do that thing, you know, you end up just like, eventually that's most of your business, right?
Yeah.
At least with a lot of people. And because it's such a niche thing, it hit a point where that's all people recognized me for. Mm-hmm. Even like the first couple of years I was here, it's like, oh, Laura does these really cool glass plates. And it kind of hit a point where it's like, well, that's not who I am. Like, I like making these, but this does not speak to me the way other things do. And that, it was just expensive, cumbersome.
Sure.
And one wrong move and you'd have a contaminated plate or chemical.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you could even like dust from the bellows, if it fell on the glass inside the camera, could contaminate a plate. You know, and it's that those stressors, along with just the fact that I really love the process, and some of my favorite photographers do it professionally, but I wanted to do music and I wanted to do more portrait work, and I love shooting film. I would like to get back into ambrotype work at some point in my life, just for personal reasons, and maybe with the end goal of there being a show and a book or something, but to do it.
I could see that though, being kind of like typed as, you know, you're going to have to start doing like a photo booth or something, you know, like turning it into a gimmick, which I would hate that. I would hate taking something like that and turning it into the Civil War guy down over at the park over there every Thursday. Yep. You know, like I get it.
I know very few photographers that really, I can only think of one that comes to mind that does the work and doesn't feel, or rather I can only think of one photographer off the top of my head that does that kind of work, but seems to be known for his other work better possibly, or maybe that's not the best way to put it, but his tintype work doesn't seem to overshadow his other work, if that makes sense. That's the best way to put it. I find that, and I feel like I should say it delicately, because I don't do the work much anymore, or really at all. I don't do any glass plate work anymore or antiquated processes, but it's one of those things where, you know, it's like once you get into it and you get good at it, it's likely that you could only be known for that really at the end of the day, for the most part. And that's just, I almost hate saying that because I don't want to offend anyone who does it.
I know.
But it seems to be some kind of reality, and I chose to avoid it, I guess is what I'm trying to say. But I'd like to get back into it at some point.
Yeah, at least for yourself. Yeah, for fun, just to like do stuff with your friends and like keep it for yourself. Or for a show or a book.
And I find that in a way, shooting the FP100C through the 4x5, I get a similar, it's not the same at all, but there's a certain satisfaction I get out of making those sorts of photographs and bleaching the negatives and allowing for minor imperfections, whether from like if like a little bleach leaked in and there's some discoloration or a scratch or some weird marring. I really welcome that in the same way that I somewhat welcomed that as well with the plates when I was doing ambrotype work. So that's kind of my thing I've been doing lately, just to kind of change it up a little bit. But the plates, I was mixing most of that chemistry from scratch. It was a lot of work.
Wow.
It was a lot of work. Yeah.
Yeah, I've looked into it a handful of times because I definitely love, you know, you watch like Sally Mann's What Remains documentary and then you just want to start shooting like, you know, wet plate and like all kinds of crazy stuff. And and then I look into it and I'm just like, man, this is just so much to get. And then to try to figure it out from scratch would be hard. Like if I had somebody kind of show me how to do it, like, you know, kind of tutor me per se, it would be a lot easier, but I'm not there yet. I'll wait. My beard's not completely gray yet, so I'll wait until I'm...
You should grow a Civil War beard first. Right? Long beard.
Damn it, I'm going to be that guy.
Just put on a 19th century style hat and kind of pull a John Coffer, if you know his work, you're familiar with him. Just get like a team of mules. Go up out into the country, you know. I don't know.
That's awesome.
It's cool stuff. It's just I like shooting film.
No, I get it. I respect that answer too. That's such a good way to put it, because it's so easy to get like pigeonholed. Just like that's your thing. Then you're just, you don't want to be stuck as the tin type girl or the wet plate girl or the you know. I totally feel that.
Yeah. Well, I find that just hearing the word pigeonhole made me think of it, and I've told people this too. It's especially if somebody has like some if they're trying to figure out what they really love about photography. And they're unsure, they're still trying to figure some things out. I tell people just, you know, more or less, be careful what you get yourself pigeonholed into. You're probably going to get pigeonholed, and that's not a bad thing necessarily. Like, I like to think that I'm pigeonholed into shooting film and shooting bands and music. Like,
that's
what I want.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's what I want. But that's why I'm careful to talk about weddings. I'm careful to even, a lot of people barely remember I did the plates at this point, which is exactly what I wanted. It's a cool process. I just,
yeah,
I just, it wasn't what I wanted to be doing full time. So,
no, good answer. Good answer. Yeah, that's good.
I think this is a great show.
Yeah, we hit an hour.
I was gonna
we
say,
did great.
I'm happy.
Yeah.
Glad we finally got to do this, Laura. Thank you so much for coming on and chatting with us.
Oh my gosh, you're so welcome. And yeah, I'm really glad it worked out. And, you know, I wish we could have done it last month, but like I said, I think it worked out for the best, just, you know.
Yeah, for sure.
Holidays,
yeah.
And I
exactly.
I had a really great, really, really, really great shoot at the start of the year. I already went out to San Francisco for a 2-day shoot for record that's going to come out in the fall. And
ooh. Oh, congrats.
I'm really, really, really ecstatic about how that shoot went. And I know that what's really nice is even the designer, when he got the he got all the film files from me, I did all the proof scans, and he saw all the Hasselblad borders, and he was like, oh my gosh, like he was like I'm sitting at my desk laughing right now because I'm just so happy. And it's just like, you know because it's people don't get to work with film every day, and so I think he was just, I mean, he loved the images in general, but he really was just, I think it was just kind of a sight for sore eyes to see the film borders, you know.
I love that.
Yeah. So where can everybody check you out? What's your Insta and all that stuff?
Well, just go to Precious Moments by Partain. No, I'm kidding. That's not it.
I was like, no way.
No, sorry. That's a bad joke. No. So my website, just my name. It's LaraPartain.com. And I'm on Instagram at Lara E. That's my middle initial. So Lara E. Partain is my Instagram handle. And I'm on the Google. You can find me.
Nice.
All right. Timothy, what about you?
Guys, you can find me on Instagram at Timothy Makeups. I also do make some YouTube videos about film photography. That's just go to the search bar. Easiest way to find it. Just type in Timothy.makeups and you'll find, you know, it's been a while since I put some stuff out. But hopefully by the time you're hearing this, there'll be new stuff out.
Yeah.
Chris, where are you at?
So I'm Chris B. Photo on Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. We are Analog Talk Pod on Twitter, Analog Talk Podcast on Instagram. We have a Facebook page you can like and a group you can join. I feel like I should just record this.
I know. We need to just have a button that we hit that says this at the end.
But you guys already know, come hang out with us in our Facebook group, post photos, ask questions, talk to each other.
Yeah,
it's really
do
a cool
it all,
little
do
spot
it all.
There. Yeah, and thanks again, Laura. This has been fantastic.
My pleasure. Thanks, guys.
All right, we'll see everybody soon.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
First off, we want to thank Laura for being on the show. We had this in the works for a while. We were trying to get this scheduled in before Christmas, but we all know how chaotic the holiday season can be. So it was awesome finally getting to chat with her. Again, thanks for coming on the show. We loved having you. So that brings us to the Patreon. Guys, head over to patreon.com/analogtalk. Bunch of stuff over there. We just updated it, gave it a refresh. We're super excited, you know, make these things a little easier for us to give to you guys. So for all the stuff that you give to us, again, thanks a lot. We'll see you next week with an all-new show. We got George from Negative Feedback. It's going to be fun. Yeah, so stay tuned. We'll see you next week.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications at TryLifeMD.com? We're now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
It's fun to put on jeans that you couldn't get into 6 months ago.
Every morning, I look forward to getting on the scale.
For anybody who's struggling with their weight, it's a godsend.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.